Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
A force of inspiration, muscularly in motion, inexhaustible. These are just a few of the ways that Boston Globe art critic Sebastian Smee has described the work of 20th century New England painter Winslow Homer. And now Sebastian has reason to fall in love with Homer's work all over again, thanks to a new exhibit at the Sterling and Francine Clark Art Institute in Williamstown. The exhibit is titled Winslow Homer, Making Art, Making History. And Sebastian Smee recently visited, and he's here with us at Radio Boston now. Good to see you again, Sebastian.
Great to be here, Magna.
So we're saying that you're falling in love with Homer all over again, not to say that you ever fell out of love with him.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, you get so many opportunities to fall back in love with Winslow Homer around here. There are many shows all the time featuring Homer's work, and that's a great thing. I mean, recently, late last year, many people may have been aware, the Winslow Homer Studio at Prout's Neck in Maine opened. It's overseen by the Portland Museum of Art, and that museum celebrated with a show of his wonderful seascapes with crashing waves and so on. And now we have this show out at the Clark, which is, of course, also a wonderful place to visit.
Well, what's special about the Clark is that it's Robert Sterling Clark's own collection of Homer, is it not?
Exactly. And he actually put together, you know, the single greatest collection in private hands. It was in private hands at the time. It's now a museum, of course, after Homer's death. So it's a really significant collection. And it's paintings, but also huge numbers of watercolors and wood engravings. They're some of my favorites, actually. They're just great. They're the pictures he made mostly for Harper's Weekly during the Civil War and in the years afterwards. And they're so full of life and sociability and, you know, wit. They're wonderful.
I want to talk a little bit more about that in a moment, and also Homer as a great New England artist. But tell us a little bit more about what drew Clark to Homer himself as an artist, because he seemed to fall outside of Clark's usual artistic appetite.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's so well known for his superb collection of French Impressionists. I mean, you go to the Clark and you get overwhelmed by Renoirs and Monets and so on. Most of those works, of course, are actually out on loan at the moment while they undergo a big renovation project. So they've pulled out their Homers again. Look, I think he just fell in love with Homer like so many people do. There's something, I mean, he was a 19th century artist, and he did go to Paris. There was a period that Homer spent in Paris. A lot of people say he wasn't particularly influenced by the Impressionists when he was there, but I would question that. I would say it's pretty hard not to be in Paris in 1870 and be influenced by some of those great painters. But regardless, he came back and became the great sort of American painter of landscape and of all these, you know, things that we think of as archetypally American today.
Yeah. Well, in your piece about this new Winslow show, you noted that something interesting that Robert Sterling Clark himself claimed about Homer, that he believed that Winslow Homer's work was akin to the Renaissance painter Piero della Francesca. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that assertion?
I do, and I think it's a really acute observation, and it seems odd, I know. It's interesting. I mean, Clark has the greatest Piero della Francesca in America. So he, in a sense, was well-placed to know or to make that judgment. But there's something about the way Homer distills and condenses what I would call significant form. You know, it's not that he neglects other details, but he knows in any given picture what really counts. And, you know, I almost think of it as like a great pop song. I mean, he gets the melody and the chorus and the bridge just right, you know. He still has his backup singers and his clever instrumentation, but he just gets it. And there's something that's so right and solid and almost sculptural about these pictures. And in a way, you could make all those observations about Piero della Francesca, the great early Renaissance artist as well.
It's a painting that you can actually almost feel,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
there's the one in particular that you've written about. I looked at it again online today, and I completely get what you mean, and that is the Bridal Path White Mountains. Tell us about this painting.
Right. It just shows a woman on horseback. She's sitting side saddle. She's wearing a big white dress. It's in the bright sunshine in the White Mountains. But what's interesting is that she's on a trail, and you can see where the trail goes because there are people on horses behind her and people on horses ahead of her. But they're sort of receding into the distance, whereas she is up close. So there's this kind of swell, almost like a wave, sort of getting closer to us. And it almost in a way mimics the wave of storytelling, the idea that, you know, the sort of climax and then recession of a great story. And I think that's what's great about Homer. He knew how to tell stories with pictures. Mm-hmm. And this was something that in the 20th century tended to get neglected. People felt that pictures that were like illustrations were somehow secondary or in service to another art form and weren't pure painting.
Right.
But I think that's nonsense. I mean, so many of the great painters in history were great storytellers, Rembrandt, Velázquez, whoever. So,
well, and in Homer's case, that storytelling gift is combined with his technical skill, because in that very painting, you can see the cut of the granite in the White Mountains.
Absolutely.
And the hazy sunlight
bright light.
Sort of filtering up from behind the figures.
Exactly, it casts everything in relief and gives you know the picture, as you said, that wonderful sculptural heft and solidity that he was so great at. All those things were there in Homer, and of course it makes him sort of a classic. You know, he's such a classic artist. And, you know, I think that means some people might dismiss him as being kind of old-fashioned. But there's an amazing way in which Homer just lasts. He's almost, I hate using the word timeless, because I like things to be connected to a time. But there is almost a timeless element to him.
Well, as you said, no one ever gets tired of looking at a Winslow
exactly.
Homer.
Yeah.
Well, Sebastian Smee is the art critic for the Boston Globe, the Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic, we should say. Winslow Homer, Making Art, Making History is on display through September 8th at the Sterling and Francine Clark Art Institute in Williamstown. There's more information and some of the images of the works and a link to Sebastian's piece about it at radioboston.org. Sebastian, always a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Listeners, that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.